We're doing the book of Amos. We're up to what's called the 8th chapter, the 4th Pasuk. And we'll dedicate our learning to Chaya Sal Bat Yosef. The Navi had described that Hashem showed him a vision of a basket filled with fruit, kluv kaitz. And Hashem asked him, "What do you see?" And Amos said, "I see a basket of fruits." And Hashem said, "Just like kaitz means dry fruits, so too the kaitz has come for my nation Israel. I'm not going to pass on. I'm going to take them to task over their sins." And there are going to be many corpses lying around on that day. Pasuk Dalet. Shim uzot hashoafim evyon. Listen here, you people who swallow up the poor. You steal whatever small assets the poor have. Velashbit aniye aretz. And you who are busy removing the poor from the world. Lashbit is like Shabbos, to cease. And here it means to cease to exist, where they're wiping out the poor, the lowest class. Lemo matai yavo hachodesh v'nashbir hashevir v'ashabat v'niftech habar. What would people say? These people, the wealthy, what they would say is, when will the month pass? The month of now, Iyar, Sivan, the months when there would be harvest. Because when the months of harvest would be around, so then the poor have what to eat. So they don't have to buy from the rich. There's plenty. There's leket, chik, chapeya. So these people were hoping, when will the month pass? Min ashbira shever. And then when they don't have what to eat, then we'll be able to sell them the grains at a high price. And when will the hashabbat, and when will the year of Shemitah pass? V'niftecha bar. And then we'll be able to start opening up our storage houses and selling at a high price. And this is the way they would break the poor and finish off all their assets. They controlled the land, and they would raise the prices, and then slowly but surely, the poor were left penniless. Lekti neifa ul hagdil shekel ul avet mozenei milma. And they don't sell a fair sale, but rather they lower the size of the food they're selling, lektineifa, to minimize the volume of the food that's being sold, ulehagdil shekel, and to raise the price, to raise the size of a shekel. And all of this is ulavet mozanei mirma. And after they've done all that, they still have to tilt the scales. So it's not enough they're cheating by raising the prices, lowering the value of the currency. No, they still have to cheat by ruining the scales. Liknot bakesef dalim ve'evyon ba'avur na'alayim. They are consuming the poor. They're consuming them through their money. The little bit of money they have, they try to take away from them till they're left penniless. And then they'll be able to buy them at a cheap price, so that the poor are at a state where they have no choice but to sell themselves as slaves. Liknot bakesef dalim ve'evyon ba'avur na'alayim. Now, this should ring a bell, guys. You guys remember how the book of Amos began? Over three sins I wouldn't forgive, and on the fourth I certainly won't forego. What were the sins of Israel? Who remembers?
Idolatry.
על שלושה פשעי ישראל ועל ארבעה לא השיבנו. על מחרם בכסף צדיק ואביון בעבור נעליים. You guys remember Amos Bet Vav? When Amos spoke about the Jewish people, he said about the fourth sin, I won't let go. And what was the fourth sin? The fourth sin was selling the poor for shoes. So now we've come full circle. Six chapters later, we're coming back to this concept of selling them for shoes. And here Chazal say this is a reference to what happened with Yosef. That the Avera of having sold Yosef haunted us for centuries later. But here, Pashup Shat, the way the Pashup Shat over here indicates to us a different shot over there in the beginning of Amos. That the idea is simply they played around with the economy and the currency and the scales so that they'd wipe out the poor, and then the poor had no choice but to sell themselves as slaves for a cheap price, just for a pair of shoes. And they'd say, we won't sell them clean wheat, but we'll mix in the chaff and the other sediment so that we end up taking a full price, high rate, smaller volume, cheating scales, and you mix in something else with the wheat so that you end up selling them even less wheat than that. And they won't have a choice. They'll pay full price. It's like when you come to a bakery. If they're honest, they put the box on the scale and then they bring it back to zero. Or the same thing is with other things. Sometimes you're paying like 50, 60 shekel a kilo. So what you're paying for the box is another half a shekel. That's money too. Nishma Adonai Bikon Yaakov Hashem says, I swear by the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is called Geon Yaakov, the pride of Yaakov. Hashem says, I swear by the Beis HaMikdash, lest I forget their actions forever. Lanetzach, Hashem says, I'm never going to forget this. Remember, Hashem is always looking out for the underdog. That's a rule we have in Tanakh. Hashem is always looking out for the underdog. Ve'elokim yevakesh et nirdach, the pasuk says. Hashem is looking out for the guy who's being chased. The problem is, you never know who's the underdog. You know, two people, each one suing the other one. Who's for real? It's hard to tell who is the nirdach. Hashem says, I seek out who is the nirdach, and I pitch in for him. So Hashem says here, I swear I'm never going to forget this. Ha'alzot lo tirgaz ha'aretz ve'aval kol yosheva. Hashem says, can it be that for actions like this, the earth won't tremble? Could it be that there won't be destruction if this is the morality of the people? Ve'aleta ha'okula ve'nigresha v'nishkia ki'o mitzrayim. Hashem says, that the destruction will come, and by you the spelling is Valta Chao or Chao?
Chapala Koresh.
Yes, there. Valta Chao Kula? Okay. So I read it Chao, it's not Chao, it's Chao Kula. Hashem says the enemy will come and consume the land of Israel, and it will be overflowed just like the Nile overflows over Egypt. So Hashem says, just like when the Nile overflows, so it takes with it all the garbage and brings it out of the Nile, so too the enemy is going to come and cover the land of Israel. They're just going to swoop down like a plague of locusts. Swoop down and destroy everything. V'haya v'yom ha'hu ne'um Adonai Elohim v'heveti ha'shemesh b'tzahorayim v'hachshachti la'aretz b'yom or. And on that day, at midday, the sun will suddenly set. It will be on that day, Noam Hashem Elohim, says Hashem, the one who controls the world. I'll have the sunset at midday. And this is a metaphor. The idea is that at the time when you'll think you're at the peak of your golden era, it'll suddenly collapse. The sun will set midday. Midday is the time when the sun is the strongest. So too, they'll think that their empire is at their peak, at the golden era. And suddenly, it'll be destroyed. And I will make it dark on the ground, biyom or on a day that ordinarily should have been light. And I will turn your holidays, instead of being times of rejoicing, they will be times of mourning. And all the songs you would ordinarily sing on the holidays will turn into lamentations. Ve'aliti al kol motnayim sak v'al kol rosh kocha, and all thighs will carry sack on themselves. People will be walking around in mourning. They'll shave their heads. V'al kol rosh kocha, people will shave their heads out of mourning. V'samti ha'kevel yachid ve'achrita kiyom mar, and I will place the people of Israel. They will be mourning like people who mourn over an only son that they lost. The Samtia, God says, I will place the people of Israel ke'evel yachid, like a parent who mourns over their only son. The achrita ki yomar, and ultimately they're going to be like the most bitter day in a person's life, and the most bitter day in a person's life is the day that a parent loses his only child. I was once talking to a woman who had miscarried 8 or 10 children. And she was discussing different things in Ashkava, how she's supposed to contend with it. So I commented that this is quite possibly the hardest nisayon a person can have. And she said, no, the hardest nisayon is to have a child and then taking it. Well, a person that had a child and then it was taken from them. She said, I'm at least thankful that God didn't do that to me. She said, She miscarried 8 or 10 times, and she never, she hasn't yet, I'm still dominating for her daily, she hasn't yet had a child that's alive. But that's what she said, and that seems to be what the Navi is saying too, that I will place her, the people of Israel, kiyom mal, like the most bitter day. What's the most bitter day? The day that a parent loses their only child. Hine yamim ba'im Ne'um Adonai Elohim v'yishlachti ra'av ba'aretz. Days are coming, God says, and there'll be a famine in the ground. There's going to be a famine on earth. Lo ra'av lalechem v'lo tzama lamayim. It won't be a famine where people are hungry for bread. It won't be a famine where people are thirsting for water. Ki im lishmoa et divrei Hashem. But rather, people are going to be thirsting for the word of God. They're going to be looking for prophecy. And there won't be any prophecy. The simple reading here is that this is going on the period we were exiled from Israel. Hashem says, I send you prophets, and you have access to me. And you're not taking advantage of it. Quite the contrary, you're telling them not to prophesy. Hashem says, wait, there'll be a time when you'll be hungry for the word of Hashem. You'll be thirsting for prophecy. So the simple understanding is that this is going on that period. The question is, if maybe there's an alternate understanding here, and it's referring to our day and age, where there's plenty of food, Baruch Hashem. A person doesn't have to go hungry. We had a student here who came from one of the third world countries, and he came with his family, his wife and kids, and they rented an apartment. They had no beds, and no food, and no clothing. They had the clothing on their back. And he would collect from the garbages clothing for his kids, and food. And when I met him as a student here, his children were all ill because they were sleeping on the cold floor of the apartment. He was a student here. We didn't know this was the state he was living in. And so we got him in touch with a social worker, and we got them beds and closets and basic things that they need. But it struck me, because it showed me that if in our day and age, a person can actually live off the garbage, feed a whole family off the garbage. And he's not the first person I met that way. I met another person who had like 12 or 13 kids, and he told me that his wife goes to the shuk at the end of the day, and all the things that they get rid of at the end of the day, all the half-rotten fruits, she takes. And she only has to do it once or twice a week. She wasn't even going every day. So we live in a day and age where really, a person has no excuse to be hungry for bread. You go behind the yeshivas, they throw bags full of bread at the end of each meal. There's no reason a person should be thirsting for water. All our parks have free water. You go to a park, you get free water. You could just turn on the water fountain. But what are we thirsting for? The word of Hashem. We live in a generation that's so distant from Sinai, we have a lot of questions that we don't know how to answer. We have a lot of new questions that come up. In vitro fertilization, is the child a Jew? Does he have to undergo gir? Is he considered his father's son? Is he considered a Kohen? You know, very basic questions. So we have answers to these questions, but we don't have the clarity we would like for all the new questions that come up. When Ramon went up to the moon, so then everyone started discussing, okay, when does he keep Shabbos? When, it's a good question. It was discussed 150 years ago already. It was discussed with regard to the North Pole. When do you keep which days? The sun never sets. For a few months, you have no sunset. So do the days ever pass? Halachically. Meaning our concept of day changes with the sunset and the sunrise. If the sun never finishes the set, so does the day ever change? So the Tiferes Yisrael wrote about it and others wrote about it. But from the conglomerate of answers we have, what we end up seeing is that we're thirsting for the word of Hashem. We don't have the capacity today to open up a Tanakh and figure out from the Tanakh what the halacha is supposed to be. We don't have the tradition of how to use the tools, the Midos Shator Nidreshus Bem. We lost that. So some like to say that this pasuk is a reference to our day and age. V'na'um yam ad yam u'mitzafon v'ad mizrach. Hashem says, people will be moving from sea to sea, from the southern sea, that's the Yam Suf, that's in the south of Israel, to the western sea, from the northern border to the eastern border, meaning even in Israel, people will be searching. They're not only going out to Chutzlarts, to the Far East, even in Israel, you'll see people going from one border to the other border, traveling all around Israel. Yeshotetu levakesh et devar Hashem velo yimtza'u. People will travel to and fro looking for prophecy and they won't find it. Vayom ha'hu tital nafna. Now the Navi says, on that day when the destruction comes, the physical destruction, the spiritual destruction, on that day the virgins, Habitulot hayafot v'abachurim batzamam, and the young men, they will all be faint from thirst. Hanishbaim b'ashmat shomeron, they who would take their vows, and when they meant what they were saying, they'd swear by the idol of Shomron. V'amiru when they would swear, they'd swear by the path going up to the idol in Dan, by the path going to Beersheba. That's how they would take their vows. And the way you take your vow is indicative of what you hold most dear. Anyway, when a person takes a vow, he says, I swear by the honor of. And what he's basically saying is, what I'm saying is true, and if not, then I'm desecrating the honor of. So usually we swear by the honor of God. That's why a vow is considered so weighty in halacha. What they held most dear were these idols. So Hashem says, all these people that behaved this way, v'nafilu v'lo yakumu od, they will fall, and they will not get up again. Here the question is, what's he talking about? They will fall and they won't get up again. Does he mean to say they won't have a chance in Tchias HaMeisim? Or does he mean to say, no, they won't come back for the second temple, but in the end they will come back. They will make it back. So we discussed already that there's Machlokes Tanaim. Are the 10 tribes ever coming back? We know we have remnants from each of the tribe, but what happened with those millions with the destruction of the north? Were they exiled and intermarried? Where are they? Are they on the other side of Sambatyon? So all this is up for discussion. Ra'iti et Adonai nitzav al ha-mizbeach v'yomer hachakavto v'yirashu ha-tzipim ובצעם מראש כולם ואחריתם בחרב והרוג לא ינוס להם נס ולא ימלט להם פליט.
Now we're nearing the end of Amos. B'zat Shem, next week we make a seal. So the Navi says, again, he begins with a vision. I saw Hashem standing on the Mizbeach, and Hashem said, hit the doorpost, hach hakaftor, v'yirashu hasipim. And when you hit the doorpost, the top doorpost, then the two side doorposts will shake. The Navi is saying, the top doorpost is a reference to the king. Get rid of the king, Hashem says. And then all those that are under him, like the two side doorposts, all the officers, all the nobles will be scared. Hashem is talking about Yoshiyahu, who, after he was killed, so then the whole kingdom was put down. And the officers didn't know who to set up as king. And they set up Yoachaz, and the Egyptian king said, no way, and he bumped him off. And we see the people were in a state where the king was bumped off, and the whole state of affairs here in Israel went down. Suddenly, our whole political system was run by America. Anav Mitzrayim. So the Navi is saying there's a point where Hashem says it's time to bang off the top doorpost and shake up the lower, the side doorpost. Uvtza'am. And the desire for wealth, Birosh Kulam, will cause them to be first to go into exile. Uptam means the like Betza, the desire for wealth will cause them Birosh Kulam to go out first into exile. The Achritam Bacherev Erog. And then what they leave behind, their children that they leave here while they go out to Chutzarts because they're searching for more money, Hashem says, they will be killed by the sword of the enemies. Lo yanus lehem nas. No one will be able to escape. Velo yimalet lehem palit. And it's the same concept. No one's going to be able to make it out of here. Im yachteru vishol misham yaditi kachem. If they try to dig in the ground, they try to make all kinds of tunnels to hide or escape, Hashem says, my hand will take them out of there and give them over into the hands of the enemies. V'im yalu hashamayim misham oridim. And if they go up to heavens, Hashem says, I'll bring them down from there. V'im yechavu b'rosh ha-karmel misham achapes ulkachtim. And if they hide themselves on top of Mount Carmel, where they had all kinds of hiding places, Hashem says, I'll search it out and I'll take them from there. V'im yisateru mineged einai b'kal kayam misham atzavet hanachash unshacham. Hashem says, and if they try to hide from me at the bottom of the sea, so Hashem says, I'll send the snake and I'll come bite them down there. So Hashem says, there's no escape. V'im yelchu v'ashvi lifnei oyveyem misham atzavet acherev v'bahar agatam. And if they go into exile, if they concede, they give themselves over into the hands of the enemies, so they'll think maybe the enemies will have mercy on them. No. So Hashem says, over there I'll decree that the sword will kill them there too. That won't help either. There's no escape. V'samti eini aleihem l'ra'a v'lo l'tova. And I will watch over them to ensure that bad follows them and not good. And here these psukim obviously are very supportive of the opinion that the northern 10 tribes were almost completely annihilated. That this was the greatest Holocaust probably in Jewish history. That the northern 10 tribes had minimal amounts that remained in the south. The simple reading of the pasuk, Hashem is saying, I'm not going to let people escape. People, there's no escape. But we know that the Navi sometimes speaks in fantastic terms, and he doesn't mean it literally. Okay, maybe we'll do two more pasukim, and next week we'll finish with a good prophecy of how Hashem is going to still take care of us.
V'Adonai Elohim HaTzevaot HaNogea Ba'aretz Matamog Ve'avelu Kol Yoshev Eva Ve'aleta Chayor Kula Ve'shakea Ki'or Mitzrayim. And Hashem says, I rule all armies. V'Hashem Elohim HaTzevaot. Hashem says, I rule all armies, the armies of the heavens, the armies of the earth, so I can do what I want at any time, at any place. Hanogea ba'aretz v'tamog, God says, I touch the earth and it melts from me. Ve'avelu kol yoshev eba, and when I touch the earth, so everything, I can destroy everything in a shot. Ve'aleta chayor kula, and I can make all the waters rise like the Nile, that rises and covers all of Egypt. V'shakea kiyor Mitzrayim, and originally the waters, we said, bring up all the dirt. Afterwards, the dirt goes down in the water, and so too Hashem says, when I come with the destruction and get rid of those that are wicked, so then it's just like the Nile, that when the waters first come up, so a lot of dirt comes up, and then when the dirt settles and the waters continue to spread out, so then that's actually sustenance for the land. So too here, when you see the destruction at first glance, it looks like, oh, there's just destruction. And really Hashem says, no, I'm cleaning out the weeds so that the rest of the plants can grow. Habonei v'ashamayim ma'alotav v'agudato al eretz yisada. Hashem says, I am the one who builds my different floors, so to speak, in the heavens. He's talking about the different levels of the different stars. V'agudato al eretz yisada. And Hashem put together on earth his group of people. Hakorei lemei hayam vayishpechem al penei haaretz Hashem shemo. Hashem says, I'm the one that calls the waters to come up in clouds, and then I pour them down and I give rain onto land. I control the world. And so Hashem says, being that I control the world, you're not going to escape, because those that deserve to be punished will be punished. But at the same time, the punishment is to get rid of the weeds so that the rest of the plant can grow. And that's where the Navi will continue next week, Be'ezrat Hashem, discussing the future of Am Yisrael. And discussing how there will be a time where the people, after they've been purified, Hashem will reestablish the Sukkah of David, and Hashem will rebuild the people of Israel. And they will ultimately inherit their enemies north, south, east, and west. And everyone will return to the land of Israel and be replanted in the land of Israel and never again removed from the land of Israel. And that's what's coming, Be'ezrat Hashem, next week with the conclusion of the book of Amos.